This week in polytheism, we turn our attention to one of the great heroes of Celtic myth, Cuchulainn. Since the story of Cuchulainn is so epic and totally bonkers, quite frankly, I'm not even going to try to cover it all today because I couldn't do it justice. Instead, I'm going to break this up into three-part polytheism mini-series. Cuchulainn, though not a god, is the son of a god, kinda, sorta. His birth story is actually one of the most complex ever, and that's saying something because heroic birth tales often become very elaborate thanks to a mashing together of multiple traditions and so forth. The closest to a coherent narrative for the birth of Cuchulainn I can come up with is this. His mother, Dectara, goes off with her father, possibly her fiancé as well, and a group of hunters from her father's kingdom to go hunt down a group of magic birds. All with me so far? It starts snowing, so they seek shelter with a couple of peasants. The peasant woman gives birth that night simultaneously as her horse gives birth to two foals out in the stable. The next morning, Dectara and the hunters find that everything has disappeared except the newborn baby and the two foals. She takes the child home, raises it as her own, and it dies very soon. First dead baby.
Is this Game of Thrones?
It is, in fact.
Stolen babies, death, snow. Sounds to me like Game of Thrones.
Then the god Luv visits her and tells her that that child was his son, and guess what? Thanks to the little homunculus that she swallowed earlier that day, she's now pregnant with the same baby that just died.
Wait, what?
Yep.
That's really gross.
Mm-hmm. She drank out of a copper cup and a little tiny homunculus jumped into her mouth from there and then
just started all over again.
Started the whole thing all over again.
Cool.
Now, when the rumors start that her father is the baby daddy, she induces an abortion.
Oh, my God. In, out, in, out. Make up your mind.
That way, she can get married to her husband as a, quote, full virgin, unlike that trollop Mary.
Now, is that how that works? You get an abortion and you're a virgin again?
I did not know this.
That's going to make some Christian girls' head spin.
So she gets married, gets pregnant soon thereafter, and gives birth to a son whom she names Setanta. Setanta is amazingly, somehow, the son of the god Luf and not his mother's husband because – and not enough people are aware of this. When it comes to Celtic myth, reincarnation is a really big part of some of their beliefs. So you have this child who dies and comes back as itself in another form and then dies and comes back again. And we see stories like this all throughout
Celtic
myth. Is this
like British
Celtic
Isle
myth.
Celtic or like Norse? Or
This is Ireland.
Oh, okay.
This is, in fact, Northern Ireland. It's part of the Ulster cycle.
Did James Joyce write this story? Because it contains a lot of Joycean nonsense.
Yeah, it certainly could have. This is the same baby from earlier, even if logic would dictate that he's probably the result of the carnal union between his newlywed parents. But no, dad is stepdad and real dad is the god Lu. Setanta becomes a heroic figure at the ripe old age of 5 when he inadvertently starts a war between himself and 150 older kids. Or 350s, as one source calls it, because those crazy Celts love their numbers so much. They love 3, so rather than just saying 150, it's 350s. As he's battling them, he's overtaken by a warp spasm, which is as good a word as any to describe what happens to Bruce Banner when he becomes the Hulk. Setanta hulks out in a way more disturbing way than just turning big green and ripping his purple pants. His hair, each of his hairs, starts to burn like a sparkler.
Oh.
His bones spin around inside his body. One eye gets sucked back into his head while the other falls out along his cheek. His mouth opens so wide that his lungs are flapping in the back of his mouth.
Wow.
Now, how any of this is helpful in a battle, I could not possibly comprehend.
I'm pretty sure I'd run the other way.
That is true. Clean house.
Like, holy, maybe not today.
There's even more elaborate explanations, too. It's just insane. So he cleans house with the not-so-monstrous little boys until the king intercedes and tells him that all he really needed to do was ask the boys permission to play with them, and then everything would have been fine. So Setanta is restored to normal after being dipped in three successive buckets of ice-cold water by a bunch of naked maidens, which seems like kind of a waste on a five-year-old, but yeah, apparently that's what it takes. Now, his true test, however, is waiting for him just down the road, both metaphorically and literally. When the child is about 6 years old, his stepfather invites Setanta to join him on a visit to a distant friend and neighbor called Kulin. Setanta is busy playing with the 350s boys and says he'll catch up in a little bit, because good parenting means letting your six-year-old wander Northern Ireland alone.
Yeah.
So once Dad makes it to Kulin's house, he's totally forgotten that the boy was following behind, and so the house is locked up for the night, and Kulin lets out his guard dog. Sometime later, inside the house, they hear the watchdog barking and then lunging into combat. And suddenly, Stepdad remembers the little boy and realizes it's too late and what awful tragedy is about to happen. The men inside the house can't even bear to look out the window for fear of having to witness a dog slaughtering a little boy. Fortunately, for everyone but the dog, that is not how things shake out. Setanta bests the dog in combat by grabbing it by its throat and then bashing it against the wall. Or in another version of the story, he throws a ball to the dog, and the ball goes into the dog's mouth and all the way out its rear end, pulling its intestines out with it.
Have they made these into cartoons?
This needs to be
a movie. Well, it sounds like those infancy narratives of all the other, like, God figures,
Hercules and
Jesus. Jesus, like, extending the boards for his dad.
I'm just picturing that. Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch.
Yeah.
Green?
He's got a good arm, that kid. Setanta bests the dog, and then everyone comes out and finds him standing over the dead dog. While relieved that the boy is fine, Kulin no longer has a dog to protect his assets. So he starts freaking out, and Setanta says, mind you, 6 years old, says that he will raise another dog of the same litter to take its place. But in the meantime, while that dog is growing up and becoming a watchdog, he will serve as the personal watchdog of Kulin. He is then given the name Cuchulainn, meaning the Hound of Kulin. Cuchulainn doesn't simply protect Kulin's home, though. He goes on to become the renowned protector of all of Ulster, which is the northernmost county in Ireland. And, of course, Cuchulainn's story doesn't end there. It goes on to feature all those familiar hero tropes, such as the inevitable murder of an illegitimate son, men experiencing labor pains, a cattle raid, and a bloodthirsty otter. But we'll pick up on those next time in Polyatheism when we take a look at Cuchulainn's love life. And then we'll finish off two episodes from now with a look at Cuchulainn's greatest triumph and untimely death.